Hello.
Yo.
Hi.
Hey, it's Ryan and Sam.
Oh, hi, guys.
Like usual, Bass will be joining us in a few. Breaking news, Jared from Subway's house raided for child pornography charges. What's the latest, Ryan?
I mean, of course, Abe has to go for the most dramatic headline. I don't really care because it's not like, I mean, on the podcast, we can be a little more liberal with those things. So, sure, Abe, you can go with that. But I think, I think it was the guy who runs the charity.
Originally, that was arrested for
child pornography charges.
Yeah, that was like a month or two ago. Yeah.
I thought it was longer than that.
I think it was in April.
Maybe.
So now we're looking at about 3 or 4 months.
So, I mean, there's clearly a reason they're searching this out. They think or they've been told or they believe or they have something that's there.
Yeah.
Either linking Jared to the same stuff or, I mean, giving Jared the benefit of the doubt, maybe this guy had used computers at Jared's house or, you know, they shared like a drive.
Yeah, because that happens all the time. You let people come to your house and they store child pornography on your computer.
Well, I'm just saying if they're sharing work drives or you know, there just may be some stuff there that guy was working on.
What really happened was that they probably found an email with Jared saying, hey, check this out. And then he's like, I got 400 gigs on my computer at home.
You know, it's one thing I read, and I guess it's kind of related, is that during college, Jared, I don't know if he went to Indiana University or some university out in Indiana. Do you know how you guys know how he made money during college before Subway? This is actually
selling child pornography.
No. Oh, no. No.
Was he a bouncer for strippers?
Well, no, Ryan, you're actually close. Selling pornography. He actually ran a big pornography business out of his dorm room.
What?
He would sell and rent porn to his fellow students for like a dollar rental.
God, where did you see that?
Maybe like Gawker or Defamer or something, but he actually was known to be like the porn guy at the university.
Oh, that's so maybe he just has regular porn then.
But I'm just saying, I mean, you know, so it all adds up. So now he hired another child pornographer. He has a lot of connections in like the
low-end
porn industry.
Up with that guy. Yeah.
He was he's been a porn guy for a long time.
But wait, you said he hires another child pornographer. There's a big difference between someone who has porn and someone who has child
porn.
There
is a difference, but I'm just saying it is, you know, it still falls under the same purview, right? I mean, he's already into porn before. No, okay.
No, because people into child pornography are like sick, like molesters.
No. Sam's right, but here's what I think the point Sam was trying to make. Like, it adds up that if Jared's already dabbling in the world of porn, and that's his bread and butter, I mean, the likelihood of him running into someone who's into some sick shit is greater than us running into that guy.
Right, it's not like he didn't have access to it. He's been doing it since, like, the dawn of the internet, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So
the guy clearly knows how to get his hands on porn files.
Right, and this guy, it would make sense that you hire a friend of yours to look over your charity. I mean, and if Jared's thing was porn, it's probable that he met this guy at in some chat room or something.
Right. I don't know how you guys felt when you read this, but I wasn't really that surprised.
No, I wasn't. Not at all. You look at Jared, and you're like, there's a pedophile.
It seemed kind of off. There was something about him.
Abe, were you there the day he came into Q101?
I'm trying to remember. I know. What was the story? I forgot.
I did. I mean, usually you and I would stand together and wait for the guys to take pictures with us. We usually have like the same picture with the same celebrity.
Exactly.
You have yours with Jared? Because I do. And I remember.
I never took a picture with Jared, so.
I remember thinking, like, I do remember thinking that he, and I've said this before, there was something not right about him. He seemed like a very, very unlikely spokesperson in every way. Like, just very awkward, uncomfortable, you know, just like I don't know.
He's just a lucky slob. He just so happens that his dumb story.
He was all dry. His skin and hair was all dry. He just looked wimpy, and he was just like, he had that awkward, like, you know that if you're smiling, but it's like you smell poop at the same time, like that. Like he's trying not to puke smile. Like he had that smile, and it just, he had the limpest handshake. It was just, he was not an enjoyable person to speak with.
Did you see that picture of the helicopter picture of him walking outside into a truck?
Speaking of limp, what do you guys think of that picture?
Well, wait, hang on. So what I was going to say is that I just saw a new Jared commercial where he's sitting on a couch. He looks all tight. Like, he must be wearing one of those male girdles or whatever. And he's like, my story is that I used to walk. I was a fat kid who used to like walking and eating Subway. What's your story? And he looks not fat at all. When you see that shot, he still has goose breasts. He's loose everywhere. Like, he's completely loose everywhere. And on the Subway commercials, it doesn't look like it.
In the Subway commercials, they do put him in the right shirt. They put him in, you know, button-up dress shirts, which are a little more forgiving with a curve or two.
Yeah, and he's probably wearing something underneath.
And that's right. He's always in the same outfit. It's always a button-up dress shirt, button to the top with khakis, with the, you know, the waist khaki where it's kind of like tapered at the belt and they kind of poof out at the upper leg.
Right.
Ryan, you're saying that a purple Under Armour shirt's not a good look for him?
No. And, was it purple or gray? That's sure he was photographed.
Whatever it was on the breast. Like, the breasts were loose.
Yeah, but I will. And another thing is, you know, in Jared's defense here, when you're walking, if you're just wearing just a plain T-shirt and you're walking forward into the wind, you know, you're going to get a different look than when you're sitting on the couch. Like, it's the shirt's falling naturally, right? If you're walking, and the shirt is already a little. No, I mean, that's where you're really going to see the goose breast and the love handles. But, and hold on, and I hate that I'm being fair to Jared here, but compared to how he looked, he still looks like $1 million. If we're just strictly talking
about Jared, you're saying, picture I saw today, he looks like $1 million, you're saying?
You're saying next to the 20-year-old porn king, yeah.
If you look at the picture of him holding up those jeans that if, like, a family of six could fit into on the campus of Indiana University selling porn, today he looked like Brad Pitt, dude. He looked like Anderson Cooper, and, I mean, he looked like a handsome son of a bitch today compared to that old slob.
I've never seen a spokesman that, I don't think there's one person who I've ever met that says they like Jared. And he's been Subway spokesman for like 10 years.
15 years. He's actually made over $15 million from Subway.
How many years, Sam?
Over 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Goes back to 2000, I believe.
I've said this before, and it goes back to the Joan Cusack U.S. Cellular story, where they pick somebody who is so unoffensive that they just don't register with people. They'll do focus groups and be like, what do you think of this person? Do they evoke any emotion whatsoever? Do they make you happy? No.
That's actually a really good point.
Do you hate them? I guess not.
I do hate
Jared.
Are
you completely indifferent to Jared? Yeah, I mean, what about him? He's just there. Okay, perfect. Because that way,
that's a good point, Ryan, because honestly, it was hard to really draw any kind of strong emotional response to Jared before this.
Yeah,
like, he really is like a plain canvas.
Yeah, there's nothing to hate. You don't hate him. Yeah.
But wait, I feel like you and I make fun of Jared at least once every 3 months, just for the fuck of it.
It's never really mean-spirited, though. I think it's more making fun of the fact that there's just nothing there, really.
Yeah, you make fun of how dry he is.
Yeah.
And dry his personality, his actual hair and skin, like the overall dryness of Jared. But that wouldn't, we don't talk about it with, like, anger. It's not like we're not going to go to Subway because Jared. And it's the same thing with the spokespeople. Like, you know, Joan Cusack again for U.S. Cellular. Who has a strong opinion about Joan Cusack?
Yeah.
She's recognizable, but whatever, middle of the road. Even like there's a new commercial for like the male blood pressure pill. You have Kevin Nealon and Arnold Palmer. Okay. I guess. Yeah, they're fine. You know. Who hates them? No one. Who loves them?
Ryan,
no one.
Is one of the questions, does this make you hard? And then everyone, for joking, he's like, nope. Because like if they had like, if it was like Mila Kunis or something, oh yeah, bro.
Right.
Oh, I can't use her.
And again, not every company goes that way. Cause you know, Kate Upton and like the Carl Jr. ad, that they use it.
They need that way.
But
yeah.
I think your big companies are probably just going to find the most average person looking, you know, average person possible.
Don't you think slobs are going crazy right now to try to become the new spokesman for Subway? Like, every slob who has the exact same story as Jared, or they're a little bit different. I ate the cold cut combo, not the turkey.
They're thinking like, now it's their turn. He threw away all the garbage in his fridge and freezer because he thinks there's an opening.
He's going to Subway right now.
I
wish I used to weigh like 400 pounds and then I just happened to lose weight. And I had old pictures of myself, and I could just lie like Jared did. Because it's obvious that that's not how he really lost the weight. But he just told everyone. Maybe Subway was out at that.
I don't know if that's obvious. I mean, I don't see why that story isn't believable. I mean, if he really did eat Subway only, if he all he ate was a 6-inch sub for lunch with nothing on it, and a 6-inch sub for dinner.
No,
and
I believe it was a
mile each way both times. I mean, I find that pretty believable.
But he didn't mention. He didn't mention.
Wait, he came out with the story.
You know what didn't come out in his original story is that he was on a porn delivery run.
Right.
Like he was dropping off, a half and half. Hello, Mr. Sanchez. How you doing? Oh, Jared, what do you got for me today? Well, the usual today, a half and half and a black on black and a blowjob and a Crisco party.
Right, I see you got your Subway. I won't keep you.
It just so happens that on his
6-inch turkey with tomatoes, lettuce, and nothing else.
it just happens that his biggest porn client was a guy who lived by a Subway. So
he's the kind of guy he really is, like a guy that could eat a 6-inch turkey sub twice a day with no sauce for a year. Like that is definitely
But Sam, you're forgetting two things.
The latest individual in the world before that. When you hear that,
you're forgetting that he also had a bag of baked Lay's chips.
Oh, that rebel.
He's wild.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if there was, masturbation was part of his weight loss. And, I mean, a lot of sweating. I'm sure he sweat a lot of that weight off. Just, seriously jerking off in the dark in his dorm room.
You'd always walk by his dorm.
I wonder if the Subway people always thought it was weird that Jared would be like, you think we could do an 18-inch sub, huh? I think everyone was really like, 18 inches. 12 inches is good, but let's go a little longer. I like to do it thicker and fatter, but good 18 inches. Do you ever think about doing black bread?
Let's call it a black cock. I mean a black sub.
Oh, man.
Any point during Jared's 4 years, you could walk past his dorm and hear, take that dick. Get the balls in, too. Put the balls in. You hear Jared go, oh, my. Oh my. Oh. Someone knocks on his door. Hey, what up, Jared? What up, dude? Hey, how you doing there, Blake? You got any good shit today? Well, I have a whole Asian collection. I have black on black. I have two cocks. I have three. I have a Neapolitan.
And an onion chicken teriyaki on Italian herbs and cheese.
Dude, what are you eating? Oh, it's Subway's new sandwich. It's the steak fiesta sandwich. Oh, cool, man. All right, anyways, how much? Just give me a 20 and that should cover it. Who would buy porn? Just think about that, too.
Well,
door-to-door porn sales.
A lot of people, probably.
Yeah, it was a huge industry before Jared.
I remember being in college and still there being, a lot of people used, instant messenger. That was like a cutting edge then. It was like how you communicated.
Oh yeah,
with people still. I mean, think about it. That's
actually, Bass still listens. If you, I swear, I'll still be on the phone with Bass, and you hear the AOL instant messenger noise.
Yeah. Ding.
And what's the noise? The AOL noise. It's like
brighter sound.
Yeah.
That's it.
I've been on the phone with Baze as recently as like a few months ago, and you hear that noise. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm talking to my friend Bodego.
Bodego.
Or something. All his friends have weird
names.
I'm
talking to my friend Jared.
This is my friend Mordecai Linden. They all have weird names.
And really, though, when Jared was in college, I mean, probably a few years before we were, it was like, I'm sure it was even more difficult to find stuff. And I'm sure there was some legwork involved, like going to some seedy shops, places that people didn't want to go. Jared was the middleman.
Definitely,
and he'd come back with a good stash.
What was he doing? Dubbing him over to VHS?
There weren't a lot of people who knew how to manage the web very well.
Right.
Was he dubbing the porn? Like, he'd buy one master porn and then dub it over? I wonder what he was doing.
I don't know.
All
I know is he said he was, like, the porn guy at his university. Like, everyone knew, like, if you needed porn, go to Jared.
No.
I think that's how he paid his tuition.
Oh, wow.
Through porn. He went from porn to Subway. Subway didn't do a better
thing. Yeah, nice background check, Subway.
Yeah.
Most likely, any weirdo that you have like that, that is just hanging out in his dorm room, there's probably some fucked up backstory that you don't want them a part of your company. But Subway were so thirsty when they saw that story, probably, and it like caught on, actually. Because Subway, before Jared, weren't their sponsors, like, the Cookie Monster or something? Like, they never really had a real sponsor.
Yeah, Yeah, and even since they've had Jared, they still do the campaigns. You know, you'll have like Michael Strahan or like
Apollo Ono.
Yeah, Apollo Ono and Muhammad Ali's daughter.
Hi, this is Elmo, and I love Subway. Give me that sub.
I wonder though if that worries Jared, like when he sees new blood in there. You know, if he sees.
Well, I think it would, no. It doesn't worry him when he sees what's the swimmer guy's name? Just escaped my mind.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, when he sees him on there, that doesn't bother him. But if he saw some 400-pound slob on there, that would worry him. He's like, I'm gonna lose my spot. Like he has the slob spot. They still mix it up.
Oh, okay,
it's
you
like,
guys do know that Subway already fired him today.
They did?
Yeah.
What?
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah. No, yeah. Just in the last couple of hours, it came out that Subway, they said Subway and Jared agreed to mutually part ways.
I knew that was my next question. How long before Subway
you knew it was going to happen, but it already happened. I mean.
No. It says Subway and Fogel suspend their business relationship.
Yeah, but that's. Well, if you read. Well, I mean.
Oh, New York Times.
It's basically
suspends,
over. I mean,
they suspend ties.
Yeah, I mean, it's. They're not going to bring Jared back now after he was found with 200 gigabytes of kiddie porn.
Yeah, you don't touch that. You don't, and you can't go back. I mean, even though it says it's suspended now, and I'm reading this article, it says the relationship's suspended. That's not the kind of thing you unsuspend.
Yeah, and no one's going to remember. You know, the headline was that Jared got busted for kiddie porn. And if it turns out that they were just checking out his house, the retraction will be on page 76 of the New York Times, whereas this was on the first page. It says, Jared doesn't only eat subs, he eats dicks. Child porn found in Jared's house.
I mean, the damage is already done. It's like, even if he turned out, and I doubt he's innocent, but even if he was innocent, you know, now everyone's going to know that his, you know, if they didn't know already, they're going to know that the guy in his foundation, you know, one of his head guys, was arrested for something similar a few months back. And they're also going to know that he was the porn guy at his university. So for Subway, it's, you know, even if it turned out that Jared was not. You know, it just happened to be there, like Pete Townsend, where he was doing research or something.
Yeah, right. You believe that story still?
I don't know. I don't know if I believe it. It's hard for me because I am a Who fan, so it's hard for me to.
If I was ever going to do that, here's the key. If you're going to do research on some shit like that, you go to a library, you let every librarian know, hey, I'm doing a study on child pornography. I need you to know that because I'm going to be looking shit up. I want it on record that I am doing a study. You don't just start going on Google and type in preschool cock or whatever.
I do have to say that. I think in today's world, when you know, especially if it's the celebrity or the known entity, when you're accused of something, you're pretty much already considered guilty. And, you know, with like Pete Townsend, for example, as atrocious as that sounds, I don't think he was ever convicted of anything. I could be wrong. I don't think he ever spent any time in jail. So, you know, we have to believe that there's a due process. So if he wasn't, you know, he may have been initially accused, but if he wasn't convicted, you know, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt if, you know, based on his previous history. I don't know.
But see, the problem is that if someone, okay, so if I ever got accused of something like this, you couldn't get me to shut the fuck up telling you how innocent I was. And these guys always go, and I know their lawyers tell them, no, don't say anything. I'd say, wait a minute, hang on. I want to make a statement.
That's a good point,
I immediately, because if you're completely innocent, there's nothing to hide behind. So, like, if your lawyer says, no, it's probably not in your best interest to talk and tell the truth, then you're probably guilty. So, if you ever said, oh, Abe was found doing this, I'd say, whoa. I want to speak about anyone who wants to ask me questions about it, ask me right now. It turns out there was this guy named, you know, whoever, Jared's employee, and he was there doing whatever. Or if you really were doing research, you better have proof.
You and any good lawyer, you put that, you put that out as quickly as you can. You don't say, Jared's cooperating, and, you know, we ask that you respect his privacy at this time. Because you're right, that does.
His privacy.
that does imply that, like, there's maybe some stuff to sort through. You know, but if you're 100% innocent and there's absolutely zero to hide,
I just saw the picture of Jared you sent me, Ryan.
The one of me and Jared.
I'm just laughing thinking about it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan. Sorry.
That's all. Like, you have a great point, Abe. I understand. You're right. There are lawyers involved, but if this were me and it was something about. In regards to child pornography, you better believe I would have a press conference from the back of a cop car.
Doesn't his body look like, I mean, there's definitely
looks like a dill pickle.
Some kind of holster.
No, his body looks like a dill pickle that's bent.
No shape at all. But he's definitely wearing some kind of like early version of Spanx here. I don't know what year this was. This is like 05, 06?
Probably, yeah, around there, yeah.
He's wearing a salmon-colored polo shirt. And he has a limp torso. Could you tweet this out, Ryan, after we do this?
I will at some point. Yeah, I'll put it after the podcast.
Maybe don't tweet a picture of you in the chair.
Because that's going to be considered child pornography.
No, I will.
This isn't a good day to tweet out a picture of you in chair.
No, but I will. With the right caption, it will be.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I knew, you know, just when you think you know somebody or something.
With the right number of disclaimers.
You should say something like, now it all makes sense. I just thought Jared was a friendly guy when he gave me his numbers. Even, like, if you go back as far as, like, O.J. Simpson, right? He got convicted of murder, and then he said he didn't want to give his own testimony. Like, you couldn't get me to shut up about it. If I was really just hanging out with Kato Kaelin that day, you couldn't get me to shut the fuck up about it.
Yep.
I mean,
you're right.
You know what I mean? So Jared should be right now. And you don't think that every news outlet would love to have Jared on their show right now? Jared could be on every show tonight. And he could probably walk out on Jimmy Fallon even if he wanted to. And so, well, it's pre-recorded, but he could be on I don't even know it's live anymore, but whatever. He'd go on CNN and any news outlet and let them, I'd say, grill me because I didn't do anything. I'm not a scumbag. Here's what happened.
Any question you want, exactly.
Yeah, I want you to ask me more questions because I want everyone to know. And I'd make it a point to say, as you know, most people don't do this. The only person who did that was Rafael Palmeiro, and it turned out he was guilty.
Great example.
I did not do any drugs. They pointed at the camera.
Just if you pointed at the camera, you're definitely guilty. Richard Nixon, Rafael Palmeiro, you're definitely guilty when you do that.
So make sure, if you ever get convicted and you do an interview on CNN, make sure not to point at the camera.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of pedophiles, Sam, how about that Indian guy at Olive Garden the other day?
Wait, speaking of pedophiles, how about that Indian guy at Olive Garden?
The one in the bathroom with his kid?
Oh, well, I wasn't there, but I heard secondhand from you and another source.
So since we're on this topic, I actually have a story that relates, Ryan, believe it or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it falls in the same category with, yeah, I don't know. I mean, go ahead and tell it, and then let's see what Ryan thinks about it.
All right, so I'm in the bathroom at Olive Garden, and I'm taking a number one. So this guy rolls up with his son, right? And I look over to make sure they're not, because the kid was like, he was super short, right? So I don't know. I hear the piss, so I look over to make sure they're not pissing on my foot, because there's piss all over the floor. And the dad is standing behind the kid, and he's holding the kid's junk while he's peeing. And is that, maybe I'm just ignorant. Do parents have to actually hold the kid's stick when they go to the bathroom?
No, they don't have to do that. Of course not.
What, like, why would you? Why?
They would ever hold yours?
Why the fuck would you do that?
Are you sure it's what you saw?
Well, I didn't. Obviously, I wasn't sitting there staring at it like Jared would. But
the only thing I thought. The only thing I thought was maybe the kid had some kind of disability or something. You know, if it was his son.
Well, then go in the closed stall and do it. You don't do it out in the open.
That's what I said. I'm like, why wouldn't you, you know, you should go in the closed stall if that's your method. I mean, I don't think that it's regular parenting practice to hold your son's penis as he's taking a piss in the urinal. I've never heard of that or seen that.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
You know, I definitely think that if there's any reason for it, you probably should go to the private stall and do it.
I don't think there was a reason. I think he's just, there's something about foreigners where they're a little bit too handsy with their kids. Like, oh, that's just like I could see him kissing like his 8-year-old son on the lips and all that overly touchy
shit.
Wait a
second. You can't attribute this to being a foreigner.
No, foreigners.
Hold on. Abe, I think what Abe may be trying to say, and he said it a little generalized. I think there, in some cases, that stuff can be like a cultural thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so it I don't know, and I'm not saying it is, but it's possible that maybe wherever this guy was from, it's just accepted, and that's like a relatively
to hold the kid's dick. That's accepted.
I don't know. I mean, I mean, think about a lot of cultures you see. It's like, you know, things that are crazy here are accepted there.
I actually just saw online that in Zionville, Indiana, that's accepted.
Oh.
Well, oh, wait, Jared's designed. From Zionville, Indiana. That's interesting.
yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's weird. I guess it's weird. It's very weird.
I
know that there, I didn't do this, but I know that there are some kids who, you know, they shower with their dad or to teach them how to shower and stuff. And yeah, that's not something I find very normal, but it does happen. And I guess if the dad wasn't jerking off the kid, if it was his kid, I don't know. I mean, okay, it's weird, yeah, and I would prefer to not see it, but it falls short of being, like, criminal.
Yeah, it's definitely not pornographic if it's your own child.
But he's too kind of, for instance, Michael Madsen was in the studio yesterday, or was it today? I don't know, whatever. And he brought his son in, and he kept hugging him and, like, rubbing his hands through his hair, and it was too weird. Like, if I ever had a kid, I'd be hands off as far as
you have a kid, Abe. I mean, my God. You have a kid, I don't know. I mean, that's what people do. You hug your son, your daughter, you pat him on the back. I mean, why is that? People, you do that with your friends, your family, too. It's like, I don't know why.
No, I know, but just there's too much.
Well, there is a line. I mean, there's like SNL, there's an SNL sketch where the family always makes out with each other.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Shit like that.
Like deep tongue kissing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a line. And if Michael Madsen is like stroking his kid's face while he's talking on the radio, I mean, yeah, that's strange. That's like a little excessive. But I mean, if he's like, you know, giving the kid like a pat on the head, fine. Okay, sure.
No, he kept that's like fine. Every, in between every.
Well, how old was the kid? Let me ask you that. How old was
I think he said, is it 9 or 10?
Okay.
Well, and that plays a part of it too, age. If the Indian guy at Olive Garden, if the kid was 13 and he's got his hand on his chest,
that's true. How old was this kid? He was little, right?
Yeah, I was making sure there was no piss coming on my shoe. And that's split second.
I don't know, you know, I don't understand. I don't know what happens when you're teaching your son how to pee standing up. I don't know what the process is.
Right.
And I'm guessing there's better ways to do it.
Hey, guys, hold on.
He's standing behind him and actually
shed a little light on this. Someone that can shed a little light on this. Parent, hold on. Let me get bait.
Hang on, Sam. Let me just ask Bass the question. Without
perfect timing.
Hey, Bass. Yeah. Bass, let me ask you a question. If DJ was like 3 years old and he had to pee in a urinal, how would you handle that? Hang on, guys.
What do you mean had to pee?
The question.
How would you do it? No. Hang on, Sam. Hang on.
If you're teaching DJ to pee in a urinal standing up, how would you go about teaching him? Let's say you're out in public and you're at an Olive Garden or something, and he has to go. And you're in the process of teaching him how to pee in the urinal. How would you administer your teaching at that time?
Well, I'd probably just drop his drawers, and I'd probably just let him hover over the urinal until he goes.
Okay, that's what I would do too. That sounds about right.
That sounds reasonable.
Exactly.
Nice job.
That's exactly what you do, Bass.
What were the other options?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah. Bass, Bass, thank you.
There is another option.
Yeah, we found out there is another option.
Okay.
Bass, I'm glad you explained it because you are a father. That is what you do. You hold the kid over the urinal and you let him pee. You don't stand behind him and hold his dick like a hose and aim it into the bathroom for him. You don't do that. That's not the
I know I'm coming really late to this conversation, but where the hell is this stemming from?
We were over at Jared's house and we went out to Olive Garden for Sam's wife's birthday, and I was in the bathroom. I was in the urinal. This Indian guy comes in with his kid, and they're like right on top of me. I look over to make sure I don't get pissed on, and the guy's like holding the kid's dick.
And your eyes just happen to glance down.
No, it wasn't like that.
Dude, I'm sorry, Faith. Normally I'd be on board with that, but if you walked into a bathroom and you saw a man standing behind a kid, like a prom picture pose. And
you're right.
He's half bent over with his hand in his crotch. Like, I don't... my eyes are going there right.
Yeah, no shit. And I'm making sure because they were like touching my foot. They were so close. That's why I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. So I look over and the guy's like aiming it like, oh, this is the way you do it. Aim, fire.
Say that, did he?
No.
aim, fire.
just to make it clear, I would probably not teach my son a urinal in a public restroom.
Yeah, there you go, Bass. Another good father.
I would probably go to the actual, you know, where I can close the door and let him do what he's got to do.
Bass, father of the year. Bass wasn't even on, and Bass just said all the things we said should be done with a kid. You take him into the urinal. You hold him up. You don't hold his. Let him hold it. Fuck!
You don't even let him hold it. You just let him. You just drop his drawers. You say, just
hang him over
go
and just go. Right? There doesn't even a hand on a dick is really when. I mean, that's when you get familiar and comfortable. Like that's when you know when you're like fully aware of what your dick does, can do, can't do, its limitations, what you want it to do. That's when you start getting handsy.
The only
tiny little penis. All you just hope for the pee to come out.
The only conversation that's needed is after he starts peeing. Just go, good boy. Good
boy. That's it. You don't talk about aiming it or anything. Do you guys remember?
There's no conversation.
Right.
I remember
and
when I was.
There's nothing to even hold. There's nothing to hold at that age. There's nothing to grab onto.
Yeah, no. It's just like a small tapper.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly.
Maybe the advice of try not to get it on your clothes or my clothes, but that's about it.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, you tell them. You say, hey, just aim for the toilet, and then we're cool. Let's finish up as quick as possible so I get the fuck out. See, that's the reason I don't want to have any kids.
You're going to talk to your kids, too.
I don't want any of that shit. I don't want to have to deal with that. Some pedophile walking in. Oh, let me show you how it's done. I don't want to do that.
You don't want to have kids because one time you saw a weird Indian guy holding his child's penis while
No, just in general. There's so much pedophilia out there. There's so many rapists. Can you imagine having a daughter? I mean, there's so many scumbags out there preying on your children. It would be hard.
I was just telling Jill, my wife, not Ryan's girlfriend, but I was saying, isn't it shocking how much there is of people getting busted for child pornography lately?
Yeah,
it seems
perfect.
Like almost every week somebody else is getting busted for that kind of shit, whether it's a celebrity or maybe it's even, you know, somebody of some sort of religious faith. It's like, it's too common and it's so like... Like Jared, even if he's proven innocent, he's fucked for the rest of his life.
Well, he's done with Subway, Bass. We got the official report. Him and Subway have cut ties.
Well, I mean, but that's even before someone said he's charged with anything. So that's kind of fucked up.
No, you're right. It's the court of public opinion is what ultimately decides that stuff. You're absolutely right. And I wonder, Bass, what your point, and you're right. But it makes you wonder if it was always like this. Were there always like? Early as it goes, were people into this stuff, and they just had it was more difficult to track them down.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Same amount of people, and they've just gotten so good at you know what I mean? I don't know if it's the problem is any worse, or if they're just getting better at catching it.
I think the catching it because of modern technology. Because now people can just track your computer if you're looking at that stuff, and then you're pretty much caught.
It makes the same thing that they're using to catch these people is what people are relying on to find the child porn.
Right.
So, like in the 1920s, there were probably a lot less pedophiles because it was harder to find, you know, they probably thought about kids like that, but they couldn't find the material.
And now it gets to the point where if you hear about it, you just say, okay, I can see that happening. I mean, I wasn't that shocked when Jared got busted today.
It's the same with Bill Cosby.
That's what we were all just saying. That's funny.
The whole Bill Cosby stuff. I mean, that was shocking to hear about.
Yeah, that one shocked the shit out of me. I'll agree with that.
Hold on. But after everybody came out and all of their stories, these people that didn't know each other, they started to line up. You start to go, okay, then it's probably pretty likely that Bill Cosby's into something, that he's done some of this. You know, and of course, today that story came out that he, during a deposition, admitted to giving Quaaludes to people and Benadryl to knock them out and rape them. I mean, so even though he hasn't been found guilty in those cases, in the charges recently, that's enough. That's all you need to know. He's done it before.
Exactly.
And he admitted to it, so it's over.
Do you guys think that Quiznos already put a call in to Jared? Like, hey, man, if you clear these charges, let's talk. Like, we just want to have a conversation. Yeah. You know, we'll get with your agent. Let's just see. Like, we're really struggling. Or maybe. Like, is he the hottest free agent?
I'm pretty sure they're advertising their advertising campaign is going to be, we're the ones without the pedophiler for our salesman.
You know, Jared's,
oh, yeah, you take that road.
Jared's agent called him. They're like, yeah, baby. Hey, baby, I got Jersey Mike's on the line. I got Jimmy John's might be interested. If you, Jimmy John's will only be interested if you clear all charges. Quiznos might be interested no matter what. So, baby, we got something on the hook. You're the hottest free agent and sub spokesman.
Imagine if Jared came back like with an edge. Like, remember when Pee Wee Herman came back when he he on the MTV Music Awards?
Vanilla Ice too.
Off color jokes.
Vanilla Ice did that too. His comeback was like a rap rock.
Yeah,
album.
That was horrible. I told you, Harry, when I come back, I'm going to go local. I want to be with Mr. Submarine in Chicago. That's it. I've always seen myself as a Mr. Submarine guy. Baby, I don't know if that's big enough for you, Jared. He's like, I'm ready to go back local to my roots. I want Mr. Submarine.
He's got a neck tattoo.
Hi, this is Jared for Mr. Submarine.
You know what else? I could see Jared getting a job with Vivid. I could see...
That'd be awesome.
A huge porn star.
Yeah.
Here's my foot long.
If this does not clear for Jared and he ends up on the hook for anything, that's a guy right there who's not, he's going to hang himself in jail on the first night. That is a guy who won't make it 2 days in prison.
He seems like the kind of guy that would fail the first time around, though. That first suicide watch. I mean, come on, that guy's being watched.
You're right. A guard is definitely going to catch him and get him down. Yeah, no,
But don't you think that Jared will? He'll just get murdered. Like no one's going. Who would even want to rape that soggy, disgusting body?
I think now they keep predators and child pornographers like in a separate wing. They really, I think they keep them pretty segregated because they do murder them the minute they get into general population.
Yeah, like Jeffrey Dahmer, just for no reason, some guy smashed his head on the toilet.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, if you are into child pornography, that's pretty the lowest common denominator. So I really wouldn't care if like, you know, cartoon and little puppet came in there and beat the shit out of him.
Right.
Because most of those guys, most of the gangbanger guys that are fucked up, someone fucked with them when they were little kids. That you know, that's why
they're
so angry, right?
They're avenging some like family or personal rape.
And it's something that they're too proud to talk about. So like, nah, Doug, I didn't do shit. No one touched me, Doug. Yep. But on the inside, they know Uncle Guillermo was fucking blowing bubbles on their balls or whatever.
Hello, mijito. Hello, mijito. Come here, mijito. Let me give you your kisses on the balls.
Yeah, stop it. Stop it, Uncle Guillermo. Stop it, dog.
We were wondering why he called Jared Guillermo the whole time he was plunging his head into the wall.
Oh, God.
I just think it's funny that Jared's the hottest free agent in sub advertising. Every sub place has a call in. Even Jersey Mike's like, you really think we could get this guy? Like everyone's had their eye on Jared for years. Oh man, Jared's the number one guy in sub. Jersey Mike's, they're like, man, we'll change our advertising. We've never had a spokesman before. We will do it. Can you imagine that? It's like Hulk Hogan showing up to WCW. Jerry showing up with a Jimmy John shirt on. Like, wouldn't that be crazy? Sam, what was it? Dwayne Wade, whose father's walking? Was Dwayne Wade's father walking around with a Cleveland Cavaliers shirt on?
Yeah, I believe so.
So, can you imagine if Jared just gets caught outside with like a potbelly shirt on? Like, wait a minute, why is Jared wearing potbelly?
Yeah, it's hard to believe it. I mean, Jared got lucky that one business would put him, you know, front and center for 16 years. I know what you're saying, Abe, and I'm not trying to like. Water on the theory, but it would be hard for me to understand how Jared would get a job at a gas station. You know what I'm saying? Like he wouldn't. Yeah. I don't see Jared working again, let alone for a sub company.
Yeah, well, I don't think he needs to with $15 million in the bank, thanks to Subway.
Well, the legal, he's probably going to pay a good chunk of that to the legal team to get him off the hook.
Do we know?
Quiznos is probably out of the running because they don't have a healthy option. Unless
Jared goes for like the big stuff.
You know, he could go again. It could be a full turn back to his heel, fat root.
Yeah.
He wants to
like a carbonara sub.
he gains it all back, and he's like, "I feel the best I've ever felt. I hated it."
Yeah, I hated the fact. I hated that they made me eat that healthy shit. I always wanted to eat this potbelly bacon cheddar crisper sandwich.
I'll tell you what, dude. Here's the greatest ad campaign ever, if you want people to talk about this. So for, like, several months, you know, Quiznos just has this, like, thing covered up with, like, a white sheet, and it says, like, who, like, what's under the sheet? Find out, you know, January 1st or whatever. Well, like, during the Super Bowl, even February 2nd. And for, like, 6 months, everyone's wondering what's under the sheet, and it's just getting bigger. And then they reveal it during the Super Bowl, and it's, like, a 500-pound Jared.
It just says two words, he's back.
Yeah. I'm back.
Hi, this is Jared, and I'm eating what I want to eat.
You should, too. Quizzo.
Oh, man.
You know what's funny? I just typed in Jared's name on Google, and every picture that comes up is him holding that pair of jeans. And there's one. I got to send this picture to you guys. There's one picture where he's at a dinner holding a pair of jeans. Like, he's sitting at dinner, and he's taking a picture with a woman.
He goes around for 7 years.
You know, like, Rocky, if Rocky takes a picture, they're like, hey, could you put your hand in a fist? Or, hey, Jim Harbaugh, can you hold this football? People must give Jared pairs of jeans that he holds when he takes pictures.
Yep.
I'm going to send you guys this. Awesome. This is a ridiculous picture.
Walk around with a huge pair of jeans.
God, he's a slob. I don't really mind the demise of Jared, to be honest. I mean, I really don't care. If he isn't the child pornography, then that's it for him.
The demise of Jared.
Speaking of slobs,
that's an interesting way of putting it.
Speaking of slobs, I was at the gym, and there's this guy on the basketball court, like, holding court, talking shit. He was sloppy. He had a Jared type body, goose breasts, gut, dirty legs, skin tags everywhere. Black elbows with green tips. He had it all going for him. And he was wearing a shirt that said, and Ryan, we actually saw this because we drove past another guy, and I'll explain that in a second. But he was wearing a t-shirt that said, "You mad, bro?" It's like,
God.
I wasn't mad until I read your stupid shirt, moron. Like, your shirt, actually reading your shirt did make me mad. So I wasn't mad until I read your shirt. Like, nothing about you makes me mad, bro. Except reading that you're wearing that stupid shirt. Now I am mad. So it'd be like me wearing a shirt that said, you know, "Fuck America." You mad? It's like, well, I didn't know you hated America until I read your shirt. Or it said, "I hate." What if it said, "I hate black people" or something? A t-shirt.
Right.
You mad? You mad? No. Well, I wasn't mad until I read your shirt. Now I know you hate black people. So this guy at the gym. No, I wasn't. Nothing you do on the court or nothing you, any way you conduct yourself doesn't make me mad, except that you're wearing that shirt that says, "You mad, bro?"
Right. No,
what a douchebag. And then Ryan was in Chicago on, Friday.
Yeah.
And we were driving around and there's some guy in the street wearing the same shirt. Another slob. He was. What was he doing, Ryan? He was moving cones or something.
He was a guy. They were doing garbage pickup on, and I even commented. I said, "Why are they doing garbage pickup on a Friday evening?" And his shirt. He was standing in the middle of the street blocking traffic with a shirt that said, "You mad, bro?" And I pointed it out to Abe. I said, "Like, look at this guy." I mean, and then Abe goes, "Dude, that's crazy." And he pulled out his notepad to show me that he made a note about the guy at the gym.
Just randomly. And that's another guy. If I saw some guy throwing out garbage, I wouldn't be jealous. Be like, "Oh, man, that guy's, fuck, man, I wish I had that guy's life." And then he looks over and goes, "You mad, bro?" No, right. I wouldn't be mad that you're picking up garbage.
Exactly. And if he's blocking the street, you know, it's implied if you're in a city, you go in knowing that, you know, a garbage truck's probably going to be there for 10 seconds and move on, might stop you for a second. You're not going to get mad. The only time you get mad at the garbage guy is when he acknowledges that there's a reason to be mad. You mad, bro? I'm blocking, you know, that's how I took it. I didn't even think about waiting behind your garbage truck until I read your stupid shirt.
Who would even buy that shirt? Because you have to have a really high sense of yourself to wear that.
That shirt is a shirt that is probably gifted more than it's bought by the person who ends up wearing it. That's a gifted shirt.
And what if it's one of those shirts where you're like, man, I have no other clean shirts today. I guess I got to wear this
one. See, I can see Bass wearing that shirt.
The fact that you have it to begin with.
Yeah.
You probably got it like at a, like at, they're in like Jamaica at the airport or something. And they, that's like a, that's not a shirt you seek out for yourself, I think. You know,
no. So you're saying it's like a souvenir, like your friend went to Beijing and he brought back he brought everyone back the shittiest, cheapest gift he could find, and he's got a half dozen of you Mad Bro t-shirts.
Yeah.
What's with that, by the way? When people go on a trip, I don't need a souvenir. Unless you, if you bring me back like an iPad or something like that, that's awesome. But don't just bring me back, oh, here's a pen that says Beijing on it. Or oh yeah, I was in Dallas. Here's a match, a book of matches, but see, it says Dallas, Texas. Oh, thanks.
That stuff is all, I call that stuff in my head, I've, for years, I've always called it future trash. Like, in my head, I see it as one word. Like, just, it's all, that stuff is manufactured to be thrown away. And it might not be thrown away for years, it might be thrown in a junk drawer, and then when they move, you dump it out. But all of that, those little knickknacks, oh, here's a small cowboy boot that says, I love Texas. Okay, that's not something you cherish. That's future trash. That's just made to be garbage.
It would be hilarious if you gave me that, Ryan, and I just put it right in the garbage right in front of you. Like, I just
blame you.
I just took it and put it right in the can. Abe, I got you this. I got you this California Christmas ornament. Oh, thanks. And then I turned right to the garbage.
There's like several tiers to souvenirs, though. Like. The low on the totem pole is a pen that says, like, Galveston, Texas. Okay, that's trash. That goes in the garbage. A shirt may survive. That's less, you know, that clothing. Like, that has a chance. Even if it's, like, a sleeping shirt, you might still.
Yeah, because some people just wear any shirt that you give
them. Yeah. That stands more of a chance of not making it into the garbage. And then, like, an actual, I mean, if someone went to China and they're like, I snuck out a piece of the Great Wall of China. And here it is. Okay, fine. I'm not going to display it, but I'm not, like, I won't throw this away.
I took a piece of the Great Wall of China. Yeah, if someone brings you a samurai sword, you're not going to put that right in the garbage. You're like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'll put that somewhere.
Even if you're not going to use it, you don't know what to do with it. It's less likely to end up in the trash.
You guys can't, going back to the You Mad Bro shirt, you guys can't see when Bass used to wear the baby blue jumpsuits. You can't see him wearing a t-shirt that says You Mad Bro.
I used to wear baby blue jumpsuits.
I didn't know Bass back then. He was wearing those, apparently.
I think Abe had, that's one of those Abe things where Bass one time had a University of North Carolina t-shirt on and might have had, like, gym shorts for a second.
I don't think I've ever worn a jumpsuit in general.
No, but that's
well, like,
that's
shorts.
One of those
shorts and top.
That didn't exist, but he created it. It was close enough to Abe that it was for sure
It registered,
That the term jumpsuit is one of those like Abe-isms that he uses it in the in
it's
an inappropriate context. Like,
Sam, you're right. It's an insult that it's like a sly insult for Abe.
Yeah,
he uses jumpsuit all the time to describe like Sam's pajamas or what when I'm sick, what I wear.
Anything he can frame as a jumpsuit, he will.
And anything that he doesn't like, that's his clever way of burying it.
Yeah.
If he didn't think you looked good, you're in a jumpsuit.
Like, isn't a jumpsuit like a one-piece suit that you have to, like, zip yourself into?
Yeah, it's literally a jumpsuit.
Oh,
a jumping out of a fucking suit.
A jumpsuit.
But, Paige, you used to wear all baby blue, didn't you?
I'm North Carolina.
What was Bass, Latin King or something?
I know you wore baby blue, Bass.
Dude, I think I had, like Ryan said, I think I had a baby blue t-shirt, a Nike t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't walking around decked out in baby blue.
Didn't you also
have
baby blue,
like,
Nike shorts?
He oversized pimp suit, Abe. I mean, he may have had, like Bass said, he did have, like, some Nike University of North Carolina t-shirt.
And shorts and the hat. He had all three items.
Wait, you guys see an Abe hat?
There's no way I fashionably coordinated like that.
No, Bass, I saw you.
What Abe does, guys, Abe has already selectively edited the past, where in his head now, he said it so many times that through repetition, he now believes that because of that one time you wore that shirt that stood out to him, that you always wore baby blue jumpsuits for the first 5 years that you guys were friends. Like, that's all he sees now when he looks back at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, and where are we going with this?
Oh, yeah, but no, I was just saying, can't
that's
you see Bass?
Brain operates.
But can't you guys see Bass wearing the You Mad Bro shirt? Just based on, you know.
If it was gifted to Bass, I can't see Bass going out and buying it. I could see if Bass's mom bought him that shirt or something.
I would never wear a t-shirt that would intentionally provoke a fight with anybody.
You mad, bro? I can hear him saying it, too, in his head while he's walking around wearing it. You mad, bro? Like, everyone he walks past. You mad, bro? You mad, bro? You mad, bro?
I think, like, amongst the group, I can probably most likely see Bass wearing, like, slogan t-shirts. Like, I woke up like this, or...
I'm on vacation.
Yeah. Like, don't talk, like, not until I've had my cup of coffee or something. I don't know.
Kiss the cook.
For instance, Bass has that tuxedo t-shirt. I've seen him wear it before.
There's where it stems from.
No, you do it.
It's not the baby blue jumpsuit, but it went from a tuxedo t-shirt to all the way around to me being looking like I was in the Run DMC band when you and I were hanging out early on.
You mad, bro? You mad, bro? You see the way I conduct myself? You mad?
Yes, Abe, I would wear that t-shirt.
Oh, okay, good. See, that's the end of it. Basically, if you answered every question like that, we'd have no podcast.
This is how I argue with my wife. Yes, you're right. I was wrong.
Can you imagine the last 15 minutes if I said, hey, guys, can you imagine Bass wearing the You Mad Bro t-shirt? Yeah, I would.
Remember when he wore the baby blue jumpsuit? Yes, I wore that.
Oh, great.
And Sam.
I'm wearing it right now.
Sam, this is a perfect illustration of what I always tell you when you and Abe, when you get foaming at the mouth over Abe. If you just did what Bass did, it would be over. If you said, yes, Abe. Yeah, I remember that time. I remember that time that, you know...
Guys, this is a good point to illustrate. This is kind of full circle from our initial discussion here, is if I do that, yeah, it avoids the conflict, but then in everyone's head, I'm guilty of what he said.
But Sam, it only matters to you. If Abe goes, remember the time you had snot on your face? I mean, you're the only person who cares.
We all know that Abe is full of shit. We're just trying to get him to move up.
No one listening, Sam. No one that's listened to every episode of the series show. No one that went back to the Q101 days with us. Like, no one listening is like, oh, I'm fucking done with Sam, honey. Yeah, it's not on his face.
Wait a minute. Wait, Sam? Hang on, guys. You hear podcast 46 or 40, whatever it is? Sam, it was, he admitted was cool. To having snot on his face. We're done with him.
Yeah. Right.
No, he's a liar! Abe's a liar!
Sam, everyone listening knows how to deal with Abe.
You're right.
It's like the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. If you move, he's just going to come at you. But if you just stand still, he'll go after someone else.
It's good advice, it really is, but when Abe throws those accusations at me, something happens in my brain. That I lose all of my good senses and I just...
I know, but
push
really
him further, but no, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, Bass just proved how easy it is to defuse. It took him a few minutes, but the minute he said, yeah, I would, that's it. It's over. Now, on to the next thing.
That is true, because I guess when I deny it, it just stands out more.
Of course.
Of course.
It goes on for an hour, 2 hours a day, a week, a month,
about it
a year.
You.
Yeah, I have to... I'm really going to work towards that.
You know what I've noticed? If someone's like, for instance, someone was trying to engage me in a Cubs White Sox argument the other day, and I just couldn't care less anymore. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, great, Cubs are good, I like the Sox, because no matter what I say, the guy who says, bro, Chris Bryant's not better than everyone on your squad. You ain't got a better we ain't got a better third baseman. Are theirs better than yours? Oh, we don't got a better coach? Bro, tell me this. We don't have a better coach?
We don't got better coach.
Bro, hang on, bro. Cubbies are better than the Sox. But
like
you tell me you got a better coach?
That's what sports talk radio is to me. That's why I could never listen to that, because it's like it's guys talking themselves in circles, and then Jim from Mundelein calls and says, like, I got to disagree with you, Norm. I think,
Norm.
I don't know, man. I thought the McMahon era was great. What? I don't think so, man. But you stack it up to the Cutler era and the defensive line. Okay. And then someone else calls and they go, hey, that Jim from Mundelein was crazy. Yeah. What was he talking about?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Jim from Mundelein.
Now, I mean, then it's like, what's the point?
Why is every sports radio caller from Mundelein? You ever notice that? Hey, this is Rocco from Mundelein. Hey, the White Sox suck dick, you know?
And no one's calling or no one's engaging in that conversation to be enlightened. No. They're not going in with like, I'm going to learn something.
Exactly.
Or I maybe, you know, I have an open mind. Maybe my opinion isn't right. You enter a debate like that, a Sox-Cubs debate, like when you were in Abe, just to have an argument. It's not.
Of course. Yeah.
You're not looking for common ground.
No. And there's a difference. There's a difference between, like, learning. Like if I saw that, like, for instance, Sam knows how to do, like, JavaScript, right? So if I went up to Sam and I said, hey, Sam, I'm interested in JavaScript. I'm not going to say, hey, pussy fuck. You wouldn't know shit about JavaScript if I slapped you in the Java face. You wouldn't know shit about, oh, no. MCI platforms are better than JavaScript. Like, they're just going in to fight with you. Just like politics. It's the same shit. And, you know, you're right. Anything like that, politics, if someone starts telling me why Donald Trump's a great candidate for president, before I couldn't, I'd have to bite my tongue not to say something, but now I'm just like, oh, okay, cool, that's your opinion, I have my opinion, whatever. Because, like you said, Ryan, there is no common, no matter what you say, the guy wearing the cup, even a White Sox, I'm a White Sox fan, I'm a guy with the White Sox, hey, queer, you saying that Chris Sale ain't better than everyone on your squad? You're saying Chris Sale ain't better than every pick? No, yes or no? Is Chris Sale better?
They always start with, hey, queer.
You're telling me Chris Sale ain't a better pitcher than everyone on your squad? Yes, that's not easy. Yes or no? Yes or no? And the Cubs fan goes, wait a minute, man. But wait, you tell me you have a better hitter than Bryant? Tell me about your squad. Who's on your squad that could bat with Bryant? Who could bat with Bryant? Wait a minute, though. I'm talking pitcher now. Just pitcher for pitcher. Who's a better pitcher? Chris Sale or anyone on your squad? Easy enough. It's not easy. Yes or no? Chris Sale versus your whole squad. Who got better? It's just a bunch of morons. Anyone who's going to tell me that I should vote for Donald Trump, I mean, I immediately think it's a buffoon, right?
Someone was pushing you on Donald Trump in the last couple of days.
No, I'm just saying it's just a I just think it's buffoonery. But I don't care anymore. Yeah, Donald Trump is great. Okay, then vote for him. He's not going to win.
Right.
Because I always use the Danzig comparison. I like Danzig. I can't tell someone who hates Danzig that Danzig's a good band. They're not going to agree with me no matter what. No, man. I like the Pixies better. Well, then like the Pixies.
Yeah.
Now that guy wants to engage me why the Pixies are better. Because Danzig sucks. Oh, okay. that's the whole argument. Danzig sucks. Exactly. Cock.
And I think, dude, honestly, Abe, I've had this conversation, and not to get awkward, but I've even told you in the last few months that, like, there have been things that you've done that have impressed me, like, as far as your behavior. And I'm not, like, trying to make this, like, a learning experience, but that's one of them. Because I do think when people are younger, you know, you're more inclined to, like, engage in that type of stuff. You know, you're more passionate about stuff and whatever the case. But I think, honestly, it comes with, like, it sounds depressing, but, like, the longer you live, the less of a shit you give about things.
But it's not, and then, you know, another part of it is, Ryan, when it really comes down to it, do you really care what Reed thinks about the Cubs?
No.
Like, just some random guy named Reed. Do you really care? His opinion, honestly, I could give two fucks about his opinion. Yep. And that's what I realized.
At the end of the day, what matters to you? You're going to go home and deal with the things that truly matter. You know what I mean? You're going to get your bills paid. You're going to, like, you want to make sure you have food, shelter, water, people you like. It doesn't matter what, you know, Jumbo thinks of Chris Sale. Like, it doesn't. Joe Madden's coaching record and, like, someone's, you know, insistence on telling me about it, it has no bearing on my life.
Is that Jumbo from Mundelein?
Yeah, that's...
Hey, we got Jumbo from Mundelein on the phone. Jumbo from Mundelein. Hey, Rocco, how you doing? Hey, is Whimsy there? Hey, Whimsy. Hey, I'm calling in about Chris Bryant from the Cubbies. Bat for bat. Is there a better third baseman in the history of the Cubbies?
Well, hang on, guys. Whoa. It's been one season now. Let's not go jumping to conclusions. What do you think, Waddy? Waka! Waka! Waka!
Hey, but wait a minute. Hang on, guys.
It is true. Like, I sports radio, you know, it is very adversarial. That's really all it is. Is you're just picking arguments. I mean, most of the stuff on there, like, I mean, you know, obviously there's news, but I mean, like, the caller portion, which is like 50 minutes out of 60, it's just all people just talking shit about the previous caller.
I've always envied their show prep. You know, when we did the Sirius show, all four of us would spend hours a week reading, writing, submitting, you know, topics for conversation, writing segments. I mean, a lot goes into it.
Yeah.
Sports radio, all you do is write someone's name, and there's an hour. You know what I mean?
Ryan, ready? Here's the first hour. Cubs. Hey, we're talking about the Cubs. Hey, this is Rocco from Mundelein. Hey, it's Joey from the South Side. Hey, it's Burns from New England. Yeah, I'm listening online. I gotta tell you, man, we're the Cubs. Fuck the Cubbies. Like, all you have to say is one word, Cubs. Oh, fuck, they're talking Cubs today. Let's get on the horn.
Welcome to our segment. You mad, bro? Tell me what you're mad at.
You're right. Thanks. That's perfect. Every sports radio show has that segment.
Hey, thanks
for calling. We'll send you a You Mad Bro t-shirt.
All right. We got Rocco from Mundelein on for You Mad Bro. Hey, I'm mad right now about all these queer Cub fans who don't realize that we got Cy Young pitching on the South Side. What's with that? Oh, you mad, bro? Yeah, I'm mad. All right, we'll send you a t-shirt.
Yeah. That looks like Frank was the maddest of the bunch today for that. Frank, you're going to get a You Mad Bro t-shirt.
You ever notice, I was listening, I listen to sports radio sometimes when I'm, because there's nothing live at when I'm driving into work at like 3:40 in the morning or whatever. So I'm listening to sports radio. They gave away like a 2-pack for some kind of like NASCAR museum or something. Like, they have the shittiest prizes. We have 1 2-pack for this NASCAR museum that's out in Elgin.
And that
free
honestly,
parking is included.
I think all radio though, because even the weekends on my FM out here where I work, it's like during the week, you know, like $6,000 every 30 minutes, and on the weekend it's like, oh, here's 2 tickets to an aquarium 4 hours away.
An aquarium. All right, we're going to open up the phone line, Bulls. Oh, hey, Jimmy Butler, what the fuck does kid think he is now? I thought Jimmy was all about the squad. Now he's all about Jimmy. Jimmy first, and guess what? There is an I in Jimmy. That's a good point, Rocco.
Long time listener, first time caller. I got to disagree with you.
What are you disagreeing with, queer?
I know a guy named Jimmy who actually spells it with an E, so there is no E in Jimmy.
Well, you're full of shit then.
There's no I in Jimmy.
Yeah, but there's me in Jimmy then. Jimmy, me, or I. That guy's all about himself. He's a true asshole.
There's an M-Y for my.
Yeah, my or me or I. Whatever, however you want to spell it, it's all about Jimmy.
There's a chaotic discussion going on for a 3-hour show.
Yeah. That's what it is. Just more of it.
The words letters you could pull out of Jimmy.
Then they do this segment about how they want to have sex with every sideline reporter. Wait a minute, guys. Did you see Bree McNaughton? Bree McNaughton is the new hot chick on the sidelines. She's with the Las Vegas Wombats. You'll see her there walking the sidelines. Would I hit it? In 2 seconds, I would.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get his mind off the White Sox is to throw some hot chick in his face. This is Brief Wombat. Yeah. Oh,
sideline
who's that?
Reporters is like, that's their bridge between topics. That's how they kind of like, that's their come down. how are we going to get from Jimmy Butler to...
No, how do we get from the Bulls to the Cubs?
Yeah, well, we could talk about Bree McNaughton. She's dumb as a hammer, but hot as hell. Perfect.
So, Ryan, give me an example of how they would move from Jimmy Butler to Bree back into the Cubs.
All right.
But let me be the caller on the line.
Hey,
let me be Rocco from Mundelein. Hey,
all right,
yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm saying anyone who don't like Chris Sale don't know shit.
Right. Hey, listen, Rocco, we appreciate your call and your pass. We're up against a hard break.
You know, I got one thing, though. I got one more thing, though.
Yeah.
No, no, but you would have to cut me off and go and...
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
No, I got one more thing. Yo, remember Carlton Fisk?
No, Rocco, thanks remember, for calling.
No, remember Carlton Fisk?
Yeah, I remember Carlton Fisk.
No, but then you move into the to get my attention into Bree. Then
wait,
that because he's so...
Shut the fuck up.
Well, that's how he is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so remember Carlton Fisk?
I do. Have you seen Bree McNaughton?
Oh, Bree McNaughton. Oh, the sideline reporter from the Las Vegas Wombats. Oh, man.
Yeah,
titties and ass all over that bitch.
Yep. Thanks for calling, Rocco.
All right, later, bro.
Come back. We're going to talk about this. It's like a bucket of cold water. You just throw the sideline reporter on a guy like that. To cool him down.
It's that easy to get him to completely switch his mind, and then he just says, all right, later, bro.
He pulled over his car, yelling about Carlton Fisk, and exactly to get him to change direction.
You just get that visual of a hot chick in his head, and he just loses all train of thought, because he has such a simple mind, he can't hold on to more. Oh, Bree McNaughton! Oh, man! Would I ever! All right, brother. Great talking to you. And... Oh, fuck. I don't even know how they have those discussions. Eat politics, religion, sports, bands. I don't care what band you like. I really don't. If you tell me they're good, maybe I'll listen to them. And if I don't like them, it's fine.
Yeah, we don't need to argue about it.
It's fine if I don't like a band you like. why is this like cutting edge thought here? It's okay if you don't like the Cubs. It's okay if you don't like the Whites. It's okay if I like Obama and you like Donald Trump. It's all okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's find common... I always say you could find common ground with anyone. As soon as they start talking about the Cubs and Sox, okay, we both like the Bears. Maybe we can talk about the Bears. If you talk Donald Trump and Obama, maybe we both like, Breaking Bad.
Well, you're right. And it's like when you find out, let's say you have a friend, right, or whatever, and... later you find out that their political views don't line up with yours. Up until that point, there was, in your head, you know, they were a good person. Like, there's no reason. That friendship is solid.
Yeah.
But you find out that they, belong to a different political party. I think a lot of people are then, like, looking at that relationship differently.
Yeah, you're right. You immediately turn a lot of people off, but you should just find common ground. I know a lot of people who don't believe in anything I believe in. And I'm still able to find common ground with gambling or or fantasy football or whatever the common ground might be.
The common ground is not talking about those things.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You just stay away from those topics.
Exactly.
And do you really want to have a discussion about politics with a guy named Rocco from Mundelein? Hey,
no.
Of course I'm voting for Trump. Who do you think I'd be voting for? Hey, if he could put his name on that big building, he must have enough money to figure out this debt problem. That's if you ask me. Let's get back to the Cubbies. Chris Bryant sucks cock.
Oh, my God.
All right, fellas.
Aaron...
Oh, good, Ryan. We'll wrap it up on... Ryan, we'll give you the final word. Ryan, we'll let you finish up the segment. You mad, bro?
Are you guys mad, bro, that I hung out with Abe and not Faith? I know you have commitment, Sam. I don't
why was
know
I going to bring that up?
Yeah, no, I was invited. I actually couldn't make it out. Apologize.
And
it would have been nice to have dinner, but...
There was a small window, and Abe made it work. And he's very kind he came and picked us up and took us to the train. It was very nice. It was a lovely visit.
I will say this, though, Ryan.
No hate anywhere.
My final word, I did predict that there'd be a three-hour wait at Ocheval, and Abe said it was exactly 3 hours.
Yeah, it was 3 hours.
Ryan, what did your new girlfriend think of me?
I was just going to say that. I was going to say it's not often that I throw one of these nuggets out, but Abe, and guys, listen to this, and this is 100% true. We got out of the car to walk into the train station, and her first words were, what did she say? God, he's so funny, and you can tell he's got a great heart.
Hey! Well, that's a smart girl.
She heard about the first part. She may have misjudged the second part. I'm kidding.
Well, really, though, I think that that's kind of her way of saying, like, he's funny, and you can tell at the core he's got a great heart, but on the surface, he's a prick. That was her way of acknowledging that what you talk about might be other people, and it doesn't sound great, but at the end of the day, he's probably going to do the right thing.
Oh, well,
hold on, right. Let me ask you this, because whenever I've ever introduced Joel to somebody new. You have kind of to describe who that friend is. I mean, they kind of are going in blind.
Right.
How did you go into describing Abe before she met him?
Honestly, I gave her no warnings whatsoever. It was all good stuff. It wasn't like, hey, Abe's a little out there. Abe and I are, we've been really good friends for a long time. We just turned together. I gave her just the bare necessity.
Okay.
maybe a couple years ago.
That's never a good sign when the first thing is the person's a little out there.
Yeah. Because once you're almost setting that meeting up for failure then. Like when you say, oh, my friend Bass is a real piece of shit, he'll probably be wearing a You Mad Bro shirt and a baby blue jumpsuit over it. You're not going to like him at all. So then you walk in the whole time, you and I are texting, God, I wonder if he's wearing the You Mad Bro shirt underneath that Hawaiian shirt.
The Hawaiian shirt?
Well, you know what I'm saying. Well, whatever you'd be wearing that day.
You just broke your own rule.
I did.
Yes, Abe, the Hawaiian shirt I have.
Yeah. Yes, the selection of Hawaiian shirts I have.
Hey, let's say we only got time for one more caller, Rocco and Mundelein. Hey, what's up with this fucking people not embracing the Blackhawks?
Hey, real quick.
Wait a minute, that's our team. Hang on. Wait, hang on. Smiley, hang on. The Blackhawks are our squad.
But have you seen Aaron Bacaw from the Los Angeles Condors?
Hey, what were we talking about now? Oh, you have a great day.
Cool. We'll see you guys next week.
All right, fellas.
All right.
Later, guys.
Later.
Peace.